Hey y'all, you want to know a secret? We all live the same life. Well, sort of. Sit down with us as we discuss various topics regarding being married millennials, where your spouse is both your best friend and your pain in the, well, you know.
Welcome to another episode of the Married to Millennials podcast. I'm Tuck.
I'm Mishi.
What's up, baby?
Hello.
Hey. How did you enjoy your Mother's Day?
It was very nice.
Good.
Very relaxing.
Good. Good.
I'm happy. Kept the regrets away.
I did. I really wanted to make sure that you were, you felt special. So, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I think it was mission accomplished.
I appreciate that. All right. So, not to, you know, push that aside, but it's May. And we don't have that much time left to football. I'm already counting down now. I mean, we got...
That's not where I thought you were going with that, but okay.
I'm sorry. You know, as basketball season, like, comes into playoffs, I'm like, then you start talking about the draft, and you start talking about rookie camp. I'm like, yeah, we got football coming.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm ready to watch my Ravens play.
Yes.
And the Gamecocks, of course.
This kind of helps with this topic today because I joke with people and they ask me, like, you know, how did you know Mishi was the one? And there's a couple answers with that. There's one where I knew that you cared for me and I knew that you put me before yourself with a lot of things. But the second thing was when we were watching football and you were looking and you said, nah, that's pass interference because he hit him before the ball. He went for the ball before it got there. No, look, I said, wait a minute, what you talking about over there? I know you was the one there.
I'm the son my daddy never had.
I love it though. Hey, we get to talk football. You know,
these are talking about. That might be the third thing that made you say I was the one.
What was the second then?
Applebee's.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Our first date. First date.
Official
date. Yeah. And I took you to Applebee's, and in my mind, I was like, yeah, I want to take her out, but I'm broke, so I'm gonna let her see what she wants first. And then I was like, all right, well, I'm a judge off of what she gets, because if she gets something real high ticket, I'm gonna go low ticket so that we can balance it out. But she said the most beautiful words in the world. You said, you know, we can get the 2 for $20. I say, Lord Jesus, I found her.
Listen, I was getting the pasta. You wanted chicken fingers.
Yes.
It worked out.
Right.
We had some mozzarella sticks.
You're right. We ate good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Ate good on the budget.
I come from a frugal family, so ain't got nothing to do with
Hey,
me.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with that at all. And
didn't bother me none.
And I guess I come from a frugal family as well, too.
You were just cheap.
Yeah, I was
and broke.
Cheap. You're right. Cheap and broke. That's a horrible combination.
It actually works out because, I mean, if you had, you know, caviar taste.
That's true.
On a sardine budget.
Right.
You might have some problems.
You're right.
But you were okay. You could make it through.
True that. And that kind of, it really does go into the topic today.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about expectations versus reality. And let's kind of dive back into what, so my to our first date, my expectations was that it wasn't you never gave those vibes, but I was like, okay, when you take the lady out, for one, I'm expected to pay. Ain't no kind of, we could talk about that another time, but I'm
going to be the one to pay. Too.
Of course, yes, for sure. And I expected myself to pay. But then there comes the point where I'm like, okay, I'm expected to pay, but I ain't got dividends for that. So we got to figure this out. So my expectation was that I was going to have to pay a lot of money or take you out somewhere extravagant. But when I put out the word Applebee's, you said, yeah, that's fine. I said, okay, let's strike one. Okay, there we go. That's good. We got it. And then check one, not strike one. Yeah. But it just kind of, it made me feel a little bit better. And that's the thing, like with expectations, I don't know if it's more of, it wouldn't probably not our more of our generation. It's more of the generation now as far as like dates and different things like that, of where they need to go.
I mean, it's just pressure from society.
That's true. That's true. And I think it's really, I don't know if it's gotten worse because we're not in that predicament. So I wouldn't say that it's.
I would say it's gotten worse only because social media has gotten grander.
Mm-hmm.
So now you see everything in 4K.
True.
When, you know, we might have been barely posting a picture to Instagram when it first popped up, right?
Right.
Twitter was popping, but all you did was talk on there.
Uh-huh.
You didn't post nothing.
Right.
No pictures or anything like that. But now people see people's highlight reel in 4K. And so you're just trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Cool. Good point. Good point. And you know, now that we're on a different part of social media now, we're more on the married side because we're in different stages of our life. So we kind of see some of those things on social media as well, too. And I wouldn't say that what we see is a negative thing. I think it's more of a positive on our end as far as marriage, like the images that we see of marriage each and every day. One, because I think our algorithm is set for that. But two, I think that's because it's more of what we're looking for. You know what I'm saying? We have those same common goals. So we kind of see some of those things, not only on social media, but in real life as well, too, with the company that we keep.
I mean, but it also can be where you have positive outlooks on things. You see things that like, oh my gosh, look what they're doing. It's great.
Yeah.
And then you're also inside of your head, like, I want to do that.
Yeah. True. Like, at FOMO.
Yeah. You know, so I think from, if you're talking about like expectations of what things should look like, how, where do you get the expectation from?
True.
All Very the things true. From around you.
Right. Which kind of brings me to the thing when you say environment and things around you, we'll take it back to before we were married as well, too. Like in your mind, your idea of marriage, both in real life and on TV, what are some of the images that you saw of marriages and relationships growing up that were kind of good or bad examples?
Yeah. I mean, we watched a lot of, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched a lot of Cosby Show.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, I still like to watch it to this day because I feel like it did show like a healthy relationship between a man and a woman and how they react with one another in different situations because they had some pressures. They had lots of kids and like just knowing how to navigate life. And then also just being with my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were some great role models for me because I spent so much time with them. I mean, my grandma could be fussing and granddaddy would hear her and just let her rant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't say a word. He would just let her go.
I saw that first
and it worked. It worked for them because she would let it go because he didn't feed into it or something like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like I had positive outlooks on marriage, which made me want to be married one day.
Right. Same for me as well, too. I really didn't see any negative relationships growing up. My parents, grandparents, they all thrived. And do you feel like that, I don't know how to even word this, do you feel like that made it easier for you to think like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to be married and this is how I want it to look? Or do you think that there was some pressure behind it, like, oh, I got to live up to some of their standards or things like that? Or
no, honestly, I think like my grandparents, for instance, just I love my parents, too. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying because I spent a lot of time with my grandparents with my parents being so young.
Right.
And I feel like that made me want to be married. Like that was like, OK, that's an easy thing. Like you find your, you know, people have all these expectations of marriage and like what each person's supposed to be doing and what they are supposed to take care of in the home and all that stuff. But for me, it was just the more of the love that surrounded it. I was expecting that, you know,
right.
More like a fairy tale type love,
which
not everybody gets to be a part of. But for me, it was big and it was like, okay, yeah, I want what they got.
Yeah, got you. Yeah, and I feel like I know I wanted the same thing, but at the same time, even though my personality is everything is, you know, happy go lucky, everything's going good. Like I always had that thought in the back of my mind, like, with some people, I'm like, yeah, that kind of seemed a little too perfect. Because I know, I guess it was more of because I was a kid. And of course, you know, my family, they rarely, never really argued in front of each other. So I never really even got to see an argument when I was growing up. I never saw a disagreement. Saw my mom mad at my dad one time, and that was it. Didn't know what it was for. I just knew that it happened, but they kept it away from me. And I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, because I feel like once I got into a relationship or into a marriage and conflict happened, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, that's not what I was expecting. I thought that, you know, everything was so happy, everything was so loving. And that's not it. I think it's that illusion that, you know, as a child you get to see, but then once you're in it, you're like, wait, maybe it wasn't that way. And then you get to see other relationships too. Like my first like relationship that wasn't like an older adult was in college, like to see somebody, and it didn't turn out the greatest, but then I'm like, whoa, okay, so is this what is that's what relationships are like? I don't know if I want any part of that. So it was more of like me hitting reality on, I'm like, do I even want that anymore? You know what I mean?
No, for sure. I mean, I think there's a balance to it too, though, right? Because I just said my grandma would be fussing and, he would just not give in to her. And so I think that was part of the beauty in it, knowing that you can disagree and you can have differences of opinion without it being personal, without it being something that's attacking. Because I do think it's important for us as adults and as parents to show healthy conflict. Because just exactly what you just said, if we never show that we've ever been frustrated or upset or, sad even about something, how can our kids internalize theirs and work with that? Like, they don't have any type of example to work off of. And so, Kate has asked us before, like, you and I are both very animated. We cannot even be having a disagreement and just be animated talking about something we heard in the news. And he's like, "Are you fussing?" And I'm like, "Where'd you get that
That's
from?"
right, exactly.
But let him know, "Oh no, we're just talking about this." And just helping him understand, you can disagree, have differences of opinions, but doesn't mean you don't love each other or you can't work through it or work, talk about the situation. So for me, that was how my granddaddy handled it, right? He just, "Aw, car. Aw, car." For him, that was fine because he knew she was just wanting to talk to get it out. And then
That's
she's
just, yeah.
fine, and then she's gonna fix him some food and they're gonna be just fine. Everybody's dealing with their disagreements and whatever in different ways, but I think that for me was key to seeing, okay, yeah, they love each other. Because every birthday, every Mother's Day, every anniversary, my granddaddy walked through that door with a card that he'll read the card in the store, and then he would just sign his name. That was it. That's all you're getting. Like, he got the card and the flowers. You're gonna see that. You know what I mean? And but we also can have our moments where I need a breather and he would go ride in the truck. It's okay.
And there's the thing too, not even, you know, even though we're talking about expectation reality, is setting expectations as well too. Like, you know, setting those things early on in the relationship, like this is how I feel when this happens. And I'm pretty sure as the years gone on, he learned. I mean, you got, you know, second,
You
you know,
aggravate on
second ass.
purpose.
Exactly. So question for you, like now, you know, once you got into a relationship and you were in a marriage, what were some, you know, first year like wake up calls for you, like reality hits?
I think one, social media and just the world in general, TV, all of it. You watching a TV show, they get married, then what happens? They have a kid, right? Immediately. Like, everything depicts that. You get married, and then a couple months after you get married, you're like, "Oh, I'm pregnant." That's not reality for most people. That's not how that really works with the body in general. You don't just get pregnant every day.
Thank you.
So I think for me, just being the organized person I am, I couldn't control what happened.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, there's no, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I grew up knowing I wanted to go to USC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Yes.
Well, I worked my butt off in school to make sure I had the GPA and the SAT scores and all that stuff to be able
mm-hmm.
to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I kind of planned that. Everything right. up to the point of me getting married had been basically a plan.
True. Okay.
The ideal expectation of what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we get engaged. And you're like, oh, I want this wedding, like this beautiful wedding,
yes.
like all uh-huh. this stuff. And then you're like, hold on, that still costs this a lot of money. Costs,
exactly, exactly.
Costs a lot of money.
Especially when you add that word wedding on the front of it.
Yeah, everything adds 3 zeros.
Exactly.
So hold on, you know,
right.
now I'm hit with reality there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on TV shows, what happens? Who pays for the wedding? Parents of the bride.
Yeah, right. Right.
Not Mishi.
Right, right, right.
Not over here.
Exactly.
And we gonna help. But
yeah.
We can't, you know.
Right, yeah.
And then, again, like I said, like getting married. And mm-hmm. then the next thing is having children.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot this one piece. Most of the time what happens in there, they buy a house.
Right, right,
right. Right when they're married.
Just buy
right,
a house.
Move on in together.
Right.
Buy a house. Again, not reality.
Not easy. Exactly.
So I think those are probably the biggest pieces for me because, mm-hmm. you know, most girls fantasize, you know, the big dress and
yeah.
and getting married and their dad walking down the aisle mm-hmm. and, you know, having children, you know.
Yeah. So going off of that, I'm going to add to that as well, too. Do you feel like when some of those things weren't met, did you feel... And, you know, just going off of your personality as well, too, things yeah. didn't go as planned. Did you feel like a failure or in certain instances or no?
I don't know if I would call it failure.
Okay.
I mean, I think the initial shock is, like, disappointing.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I've been thinking about all my life. And now mm-hmm. it's like, I don't have this big, elaborate wedding. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Right.
But also, I think it comes with growth too, because you start learning that like that doesn't really matter, you
right.
know what I mean? That was just a fantasy based
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm.
things I saw, you know, growing up when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
you see that you fall in love with this perfect guy,
yeah,
and everything just runs smoothly, and you know, you graduate college and you make 6 figures off the bat. Yeah, right. You can barely rub 2 dimes together.
Once again, not reality.
Not reality.
Entry level is not really entry level. So I agree with a lot of those things. And I'm going to kind of touch on the once you get married, the having kids. Like, we got that question at the wedding. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Dang, can we just,
didn't
you know,
enjoy the reception?
Right, right. I think somebody came up to us and was like, oh, y'all, you know. Tonight's the night. Go ahead and start the film. I was like, golly. I was like, and it's kind of fast. But here's the thing, though. That's society's kind of timeline.
Yeah.
Or I'll say it this way, and I use it kind of loosely, but like, it's almost like you hit wedding milestones or marriage milestones. Like,
yeah.
oh, yeah, you got to hit these steps into,
yeah.
to get to the top of the mountain.
Check
of
it
marriage.
Out for you.
Exactly.
Not, you ain't
exactly.
doing it right.
And it's like that pressure of doing those things and doing it in the quote unquote right order can really be a detriment to your marriage if you don't have those conversations. And, you know, we went through, you know, our first year, we had those conversations of like, we had those conversations even before the wedding when we got engaged about, you know, having kids, different things like that. But one big thing for me that kind of was a surprise in the first year, like kind of like the wake up call, is the finances. That was one thing that I was just like, oh, wait, hold on, what you mean? So in my head, this is how I thought marriages work as far as finances goes. I have my account, you have your account, and then we go, oh, okay, so now we have all these bills, we live together, let's figure out the bills and just split it. And then you brought it to my attention. I was like, well, why don't we just have a joint account? And I was like, what is that? A joint account? What do you mean? So, like, I knew nothing about that because, one, my parents never talked to me about finances, about, like, how they did their finances or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just thought that, you know, it, as an adult, you're like, you have your account and, you know, I live. So, for me, I really didn't live on my own. I kind of lived on campus mostly. So, I just kind of paid it. And then there it was. I had my first reality check with an apartment. I was like, adulthood sucks. But I thought it was like my money, your money. And then we go, okay, well, bills need to be paid. So let me have this. You give me this. And then we get it paid. And I was like, well, joint, I thought to myself, and this is just me, and you can kind of agree or disagree on it. I thought that the joint account would bring problems. And let me explain why I thought that. Mm-hmm. I thought the joint account would bring problems because if the money wasn't there, it was almost kind of like a shakedown, like, oh, well, where's the money at? I need it. Kind of thing like that. That's how I thought it was going to be. And I'm like, well, you know, I just got my check. Let me give it to you, I guess. But then I was like, no, the joint is kind of what we dump into so that we can pay the bills. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like a, you owe me $50, so I need you to put it in there so I can have it kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's more of, it's a joint account so that things can get handled.
Yeah.
And that was just, I just didn't know about that. And that was kind of a wake up call for me because, you know, me, I'm just off.
Yeah, because we still kept our separate accounts just to have, you know, some funds on the side.
Right.
But I think the joint account was beneficial to us.
Because, oh, yeah, still is. To this
day. Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's how things get paid. But so you thought it was a shakedown?
No, here's the thing. You don't have to realize, like, even though I have a sister, I was pretty much the only child. So it was all like, I came from a point of, it was like, me, I got to do this kind of. And I'll be honest with you, early on, and you, I mean, you probably agree with too, I was a little selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, well, what about me? Like that, it was all about me, really. It was like, how am I going to feel in this? And then I had to learn early on that it ain't just about you, it's about us together. And I think it really hit me in marriage counseling as well, too, that it was a us. It was a me, you, and God thing. And I had to set aside like, oh, yeah, so now I really do need to make decisions based on my feelings and my wife's feelings as well, too, and for the future of this marriage. So some of those things, like one of the things was the financial piece. I was like, okay, it makes sense. So I guess I really do need to do this kind of thing. So
yeah.
So yeah, that was one of my wake up calls. Another question for you. So since we're talking about the financial piece, how did you navigate through the, how do I even put this? I guess the 50-50 thing and the equal everything kind of stigma. How do we kind of navigate through that? You get what I'm saying?
Like thinking that we're supposed to be splitting it down the middle?
Yes.
Well, I didn't have any issues with that. Now, I was not about to nickel and dime with my husband. That
right, just exactly. Wasn't
for me.
Right, you know? Right.
And
right.
I think we had conversations about that. Because, I mean, what works for other people works for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't work for me. Because right. If we're working a household, I don't have time to sit there and be like, hey, I'm going to do this. Send me your half. Like, right. I don't have time for that.
Right.
No,
right.
The finances are the finances. If we need something, I'm going to get it.
Right.
And move on.
Yeah.
And so I didn't necessarily have any issues with that. Again, I grew up staying around my grandparents a lot where I saw both of them working. Both of them, just if we went to the store, they got what they need to get and moved on. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, right.
Again, I had the expectation that that's how it works, is that you're a partnership doing the best for both of you.
Right.
So it didn't bother me at all sharing my money. My issue would be, can you handle money?
Well, true.
That's the concern, true, right? Not true. Sharing it, not buying the things that need to be bought.
Mm-hmm.
Money management. Can you manage money?
Right. That's a key piece, yeah.
Is the piece that was a big sticker for me.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said something about that, too, about the managing of the money. Is when you're able to manage the money correctly, it gives your spouse the peace of mind that you won't have those financial troubles if something were to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so say like you did lose your job, and it's all on the other spouse. But if your other if your spouse is, you know, splurging on different things or whatever, you know,
You have no
bank account,
savings.
yeah, no savings, bank account is completely empty, paycheck to paycheck, and you're like, well, you know, we kind of need to pay this, 'cause, you know, something unexpected came up, and you would be able to trust that person to be able to go, well, you know, babe, I got it or whatever, don't worry about it. But here's the thing, here's that what we talked about before, that open communication, that joint account, none of those issues are going to even pop up. But you still have that trust that if something were to happen, then that person can handle it for you. So, quick question. So I want you to kind of, so we're talking about expectations and reality. What's kind of talk about some things, not even the first year, just some things like with me. Like you thought it was going to be this, and then it ended up being that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. I
Okay.
just gotta think about it. We lived together before we got married, so I feel like a lot of my stuff,
We
I mean,
telling people we were shacking.
it's taboo. Oh my gosh.
Tell nobody we were shacking, girl.
We were engaged.
I
But
know. It's a long time out. What are you thinking? That time when your parents came.
Oh, well, we weren't engaged then.
Weren't though. I just want to tell it though. And he was like, my parents are coming into town. I was like, uh-oh, all my stuff there. I mean, I lived there, but I didn't live there.
You were
All
just
my
there
stuff
all
was
the
there.
time.
Right. So I got shoes there, you know, clothes there. So I'm over here thinking, I'm like, okay, let me move some of these so that when they walk in your room, it don't look like I actually live here. And I remember to this day, your mama said, tell Tuck he can come in here and go get his shoes.
Yeah, because you hid the shoes at the bottom of my bed under the blanket.
Oh my
And
gosh.
we were in there doing something. I don't know. I was getting dressed or something
Yeah.
for going somewhere.
And
She
I
was
had no
like,
shoes on.
tell Tuck to come on in here because I know he want to get these shoes that's under the bed. And I was
Right.
like, it
Oh my
was funny
gosh.
to me because I was like, I know. Why he try to hide them
I
under
don't
there?
know. Because, like he said, it's frowned upon. Sorry, I just had to get that out.
That's okay. No, but what I was thinking is I guess mine would be more pre-marriage because of us living together before we got married, but
Okay.
like just how things happen in the household, you know? Like the expectation of my house is always going to be clean, you know? I'll have dinner, we'll have dinner done and you know, we'll whatever. No. You're a pig. Yes.
Wait, huh?
You were a pig.
My guys, okay, can we continue?
Clothes would be everywhere.
Okay, got you. Okay, I was wondering where he was
Things would
going with
be
that. All right,
everywhere.
yeah, okay.
And I could not handle it.
Okay.
That right there was tough for me.
Yes.
Like the expectation of having a clean house with a candle going at all times. Nope.
See, here's the thing. You have all sisters. You never live with boys or men. At that time, I mean, even though I was 21, I was still a boy. Like
Yeah.
I'm still kind of in that, I'm still in
You
that
weren't
bachelor stage, like as far as mindset.
21 when we were
No, I
living
mean,
together.
well, yeah. How old was I? No, I was older.
Yes.
Yeah, but maturity level, so maturity
I
age.
was 22 when we got married.
True. I'm talking about maturity age.
Eight.
Whoa, it's a little low. I would at least gave myself 16. Anyway, but yeah, because that is a wake up call because, like you said, you had your way. Because I mean, you had roommates, but like with you always had your own room, so your space was always neat, always clean. And then to come with me, and it's not there's so much. That was definitely an eye-opening situation for you. For me, as far as expectations and reality, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. When we got married, just going off of relationships that I saw, marriages that I saw, not relationships, marriages that I saw, TV, marriage was gonna be easy. You know what I mean?
Well, see, I was just about to say, like the TV piece of it for me, or hearing different stuff was the opposite. Like I feel like a lot of TV shows showed, I mean, again, it showed like the beauty, the glamour of getting married. But like once it got married, you saw a lot of arguments. You saw a lot of like disagreements that turned into like people leaving the house and
Yeah,
all this
that's
stuff.
true. And
I
you're
mean,
sleeping on the couch.
yeah.
So here's what I mean by the easy. Yes, I saw all those things, but like in like TV shows, it was like TV shows, let me just let y'all know. Hollywood is wrote written in a certain ways. You got the different parts, you got the climax, you got the come back down and the come together. I always saw that, you know, an argument would happen, the person would storm out, commercial break would happen. I go get my snack or whatever, come back, they happy again. I'm like, wait a minute, what y'all just arguing? So it's like quick like that. They never showed the conflict resolution. It was always like, oh baby, you know I love you. And then it was like, oh, in the background. So that's what I meant by easy. I feel like conflict resolution, I thought it was gonna be easy. In our situation, it really wasn't because here's the thing. So we disagree. We'll kind of go through. We disagree. Because we are both two strong-minded people. We want both of our points to go across. I feel like in TV shows, there was a strong-minded person and a person who goes, you know what, you're right, like that. And early on, that didn't happen. We butt heads a lot because we were both strong. We had our opinions. But in the grand scheme of things, you even for both of us, we had to realize, like, yes, we have our opinions, but where do we come to a common ground with those? And I feel like that was that developed over the years. Early on, it didn't happen that way. It was more of a headbutt, lying, we ain't talking. You know what I mean? And I thought that the conflict resolution was gonna be easy. Not to say that you were gonna lay down whenever I said something, or but
Absolutely not.
I thought at least one of us was gonna do that.
Not
But it didn't
me.
happen that way. You're right. And still don't. But
And
yeah,
don't.
and don't. But yeah, that's what I meant by the easy part of it. That marriages work. Like you have to work on it.
But I also do think that marriage can be easy. Like I don't not to the point where like
Happy go lucky every day,
not sunshine and rainbows,
Right.
but I think it can be easy depending on communication and like
Right.
talking through whatever's going on. It doesn't have to be this big blow up in order for things to work. But again, it deals with TV, social media, your environment that you grew up into. So I think that's why I was shaped with kind of like maybe almost a naive sense of marriage too, because I saw such positivity. I don't know. Naive maybe isn't the word, but like you know what I mean? Like I just for me,
It's
getting
almost,
married was the goal. And it was going to be to someone who loved me the way my granddaddy loved my grandma. Luckily, I did find that, thankfully. I'm blessed. I know that. But that's not the case for a lot of people. So,
Got you.
what about like friendships once you get married? Like, what was the expectation about like hanging with your boys and all of that? Did you have any type of expectation versus reality kind of piece there?
I mean, for me, it was different because I'm trying to think at that time who all was still in Colombia. So at the time, yeah, everybody was still there. I, in my mind, because all my we've all graduated, I was at the point where I knew that we were going to start getting into our careers and we weren't going to hang out as much as we did in college. But I think that, to be completely honest with you, I think with that having in my mind, I didn't expect anything to change. And let me explain what I mean by that. I didn't expect that the marriage would change me hanging out with my friends. Like, I thought that, you know, we were all in our careers, we'll just find time where we were anyway. A lot of us were getting into relationships at that time as well too, and I just thought organically we weren't going to hang out as much, so it wasn't a big deal. Like it wasn't no thing like, well, dang, why I'm hanging out with her all the time? I want to hang out with my friends. It was never like that because we were all trying to reach those same goals. So it was a little bit different for me. I know for other people who were still, you know, hanging out with their friends a lot, you know, just like college, that can be something that you know, an expectation that they thought they would still be able to hang out with them the same. Here's my thing. We talked about it before. When I love hard. So I knew that I was going to be with you a lot. And I was. I knew that I was going to be with you a lot. But I did have points where, because I had just joined a fraternity, I thought that, how do I even put this? Not, I thought I would be like out with the with my fraternity a lot more, but I found myself going, I don't even want to do that. I want to hang out with her. But there were some times where I did go, well, we have this, and I would kind of probe, and I'm like, what do you think about that? And I will just wait to kind of see what you say. And I'm like, it's cool. I'm going to chill too. You know what I mean? And it's not that, I was, I wouldn't say pacifying you. It was just more of like, I wanted to check the, not check the temperature. I wanted to see where you were with it. And there were
You
some
were
times you
trying
were like,
to t check the
I
temperature.
was. And there were some times where it was like, go hang out with them. You know what I mean? So, and I think if you, if I was just more upfront, like, hey, babe, I want to go hang out with the boys or whatever. Hey, like, you know what I'm saying? You're cool with that. It's not asking for permission. It's just saying like, hey, did you have plans or anything like that? Just like that communication. And there were some times where the communication wasn't there. And I would go, you don't remember? I said that I was hanging out with him. He's like, no, you didn't. You know what I
No,
mean?
didn't hear
So
that.
I think that, if you're upfront, I think that it'll be, it won't be as hard of a transition.
Yeah, see, I saw both sides of that, right?
Okay.
Because again, my grandparents, my grandma stayed mostly at the house. She ain't want to do nothing but watch her soap operas,
Yeah.
make some dinner, and sit down on the couch like that. That was her joy. I
Yeah.
mean, she did some stuff at church, and she was good to go. My granddad, on the other hand, had friends. Like, he hanging out.
Yeah,
So, I
right.
mean, my granddad had what called the Blue Haven Cafe. So he basically ran a nightclub. He
Yeah.
owned a nightclub, and so he spent a lot of his nights there, running the club. But in the daytime, if he was sitting on that couch and not if he wasn't taking a nap or watching King on the Hill or one of those old westerns,
Yeah.
and grandma didn't need him to do nothing, he was hanging out with his friends,
Yeah.
what we call on the Mill Hill, right, in Belton. So they would be playing cards and, hanging
Yeah,
out.
right.
It didn't bother my grandma, not to my knowledge anyway. Like,
Right.
it didn't bother her. She
It
I mean, I'm sure some
probably did.
days, but like
Yeah.
for the most part, she was fine. She was
Yeah.
like, whatever, bye, see you later. Because she knew he was coming in a couple
Right,
hours. He wasn't
right.
staying out all night.
Right.
But like it was fine for him to go and hang out with his friends. Then he got my parents. My parents, I grew up thinking they only had each other.
I got you.
Like, I mean, they had some friends, but most of their friends came in pairs. So it was the husband and the wife hanging out with them. My parents never really went anywhere solo.
Yeah, got you.
And so I saw both sides of it where I was like, okay, there's got to be a balance between it. Like, you can hang out with your friends and still spend time with your spouse. And I still tell them to this day, if they listen to this, they'll laugh because I told them, I said, that's kind of toxic. Like, it's cool. Like, it's such a joke. My daddy will say, I'm going to hang out over so and so's house. And mom be like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, but what if it really is? Like, what you gonna say then?
True.
Same with her. She's like, well, so and so's got so. I said, go. Go. But it's just so, they're so attached to each other because, I mean, they were young. I mean, my mom was 14 going on 15 when she had me. My daddy was 17. So, like, they were young. And they knew all they had with each other. And, but I was like, that is somewhat toxic. Get out of that top front. So part of me was like, I don't want to be that for my husband to feel like he can't. Not that my dad feels like he can't, my mom feels like she
No, I get
can't.
that.
But I'm just saying, like, for them, that's all they know, really.
You never wanted me to feel like that. I couldn't.
I didn't want you to lose touch with your friends. Like, I still to this day will be like, when the last time you talked to Jimmy? When the last time you talked to Trey? Because I want to make sure that you still cultivate that friendship with them.
And and we do that, and we check on each other a lot. We're all with families, And we respect that as well, too. But we always just make sure, like, hey, we do. I don't want to call it a well check, but we always kind of make sure everybody's head's on straight, different things like that. We used to do an accountability call. We ain't done that in a long time, mm-hmm. but we got to get back on that. But we used to do an accountability call, and I feel like that was always, every time we were on the call, I would go, like, yeah, fellas, iron sharpens iron. And I feel like we all got almost like a battery boost because we were like, you know, as men, we rarely get to like vent. We rarely get to kind of tell different things that's happening because usually the person we're venting to is the person that we're trying to give security to, give protection to, different things like that, nurture, different things like that. So we never get to really vent and do those things because we don't want to cause issues, but be able to go to somebody who's like-minded and be able to do those things and say those things. And I mean, you have a safe space in marriage, but it's a safer space with the guys, especially with us growing together. That's very helpful. And I feel like that's very healthy to have that relationship as well, too. And I appreciate you for saying, always checking on me. I do the same thing with you, with your friends as well, too. I'm like, when last time you checked on so-and-so and go from there. So. And I think it'll be like, you know what I'm saying, our health, I want to make sure that you're good mental health wise as well.
And yeah. I mean, I think it's important. So mm-hmm. just depending on,
yeah.
you know, how you grew up, you see different things. So,
yeah.
And it shapes you. So let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Because I was just thinking about like all the TV shows and like expectations around intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
What expectations did you have? Versus reality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was every night. Every night.
That's not, on TV. That's not the only thing with intimacy.
I know that. But let me. The reason why I answered it like that is because that's how people think intimacy is.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I'm gonna give y'all a little less. You know, it's not just the sex, right? It's the hugs, the kisses, the grabs around the waist, the different things like that, the words of affirmation, the touching every single love language, even though it's not their main love language. It's always the attention. It's the intentionality. It's all those things wrapped into one to intimacy. Those things lead to the sex. So the way society makes it seem like, you know, on TV shows, that's like, especially Martin. Oh, my gosh. Martin, the little horn dog.
Oh, my God.
It was almost like every episode he was trying to get at Gina. But Gina was trying to tell him, like, hey, it's more to that than just that. But he didn't understand that. And I feel like that's one thing as far as expectations, because people go, oh, yeah, when you get married, you get to, you know, it happens all the time. But it's not that it happens all the time. It have the, you know, how do I even word this? The stages to it. It's steps to it. It's not just going straight into it. It's like the little things throughout the day, the text, the things that you did when you were dating.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep those things going. And I thought, you know, as far as
anticipation.
Exactly. And that's what I mean by it's every day, because you have to drop those different nuggets, those different things every single day in order for it to be a healthy sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, your expectation.
Uh-huh. We're supposed to be every day. But it's not, the actual act isn't every single day. You get what I'm saying about that?
Now, I'm asking you your expectation.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. My expectation was that it's every day. But no, reality is not. But like I said, it's not the only thing when it comes to intimacy. That's what I was saying.
Yes.
Got you.
I just wanted to ask because, I mean, TV shows do. They go make it.
Yeah.
I mean, the night of the wedding.
Uh-huh.
We were asleep.
Right.
Exhausted.
Knocked out. We both woke up as Mr. and Mrs. Tucker, but well rested, though.
And went to church.
And went to church, right. Made it on time, too.
Mm-hmm. We was a little bit late.
You should have just told people we made it on time. Uh-uh. We were a little late, though.
I'm not going to lie. Because, the Lord.
Yeah, you're right. It was a far, though. That's why.
It was what?
It was far. No, we overslept.
Anderson, it was we overslept.
Yeah, we overslept.
We're tired.
It's okay.
We're exhausted.
Yeah, let's be honest. We overslept. But we had intentions. The expectation was to go.
We went.
We did go.
We made it.
Mm-hmm. Last thing. What are some kind of, I wouldn't say, I don't ever want to say words of advice, but lessons learned to bridge the gap between, you know, this, I don't even want to call it fairy tale. I just want to say more of what society paints and what it actually is as far as a real love and a real marriage. What are some tips or things that you learned that kind of help bridge that gap to be able to, I guess it's more of a, how do you bridge the gap to know that you're headed in the right direction within a
marriage? I got one tip.
Uh-huh.
One only.
All right.
Expect nothing and give everything.
Mm.
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Because, and I don't mean expect nothing as in like don't yeah. have any type of positive expectations on your marriage. But I mean, throw out all of the fairy tale stuff or mm-hmm. the imagined lifestyle that you might have thought about growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to create something.
Right.
As you go,
yeah,
you don't have control over it. Like life is life, none. And so throw all that out the window.
Good point.
And be willing to enjoy the ride.
I like that.
And then you know, as in marriage, giving everything. And I'm not saying you know, like you be the sole person, you know, giving up everything that you've ever worked for or what you want, and mm-hmm. like giving up on. Something that's a non-negotiable. I'm just saying, yeah. like, put forth the effort to be willing to help somebody also open up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're going to navigate through it and paint your own picture.
Yeah.
So throw out the old canvas and bring in a blank canvas.
I like that.
That's the best way I can put it.
Right. One thing that I would say is it's a few words that I've been hearing a lot just because I listen to, a lot of other podcasts, but mine are more not in this demographic, but, and this is for my guys. It sounds horrible when I say it, but hear me out. Under promise and over deliver. And what I mean by that is don't at the beginning of a relationship or throughout say, babe, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and give like a list. Because here's the thing with, you know, your spouse. You say these things, that's your word. You say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do better. All those things, and it doesn't happen, and you just disappointed her. You know what I mean? Mm. So I feel like if you, when I say under promise, I'm saying like don't paint these pictures, but then when it doesn't happen, you can't get upset because you didn't paint that picture for her. You have to make sure that you execute on things. I wouldn't say move in silence, but make sure that you know in your mind, like, hey, these are the steps I want to go towards that.
Hmm.
And then when you over deliver with that is not saying go, you know, lay down, but oh, like go above and beyond. Like think about this, like say a date night. You say, hey, babe, we're going to go out for a date. There's that element of surprise. You can go, hey, I have this whole thing planned. I'm not going to tell her everything. I'm going to tell her what she needs to wear and what time to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Those things like that. Don't say, hey, babe, we're going to go here. But if you didn't set those reservations up and then y'all here sitting here waiting, like, I thought you said you had this plan.
I speak from experience.
Uh-huh. Yes, for sure. I had to learn that. And that's what I'm trying to, things I learned.
Yeah, but then also from my perspective, I have to like wipe it. And I probably said it like out of frustration one time.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to even believe that you're gonna do that again. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, it is mm-hmm. what it is. Like, mm-hmm. I'll do it myself.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I truly need to take the expectation off because you don't know exactly what I think should happen.
Right.
Unless I told you.
Right.
So, you know, the expectation of someone sitting here and planning a date and mm-hmm. making reservations, while that seems like normal protocol for me,
yeah.
It didn't even go through your mind. So, no, like,
not at all.
Expectation of that
yes.
led to disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really, like, your fault. Now, I do still think you should have thought about that. Now, I'm not taking that away. But what I'm saying is, like, for you, you're like, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah.
And now, looking back on it, you probably didn't. Because at that time, back in the day, we was going to Applebee's. You don't need no reservation to go to Applebee's.
Not at all.
You know what I mean?
So we ain't going to have bees that much no more.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Now we're going to some nicer restaurants. I still don't want to go to them high class ones. I just don't fit.
I got you.
Do you want sparkling water? Or give me a tap. I don't know. No, but what I'm saying is that, like, my expectation was that you would handle all of that, and it wasn't necessarily fair to you. So reality is I had to, I don't want to say this as like your dog or anything, but teach you what I was expecting.
No, I get it.
So that you would know, you know what I mean? Yeah. Same thing for you. Like teaching me what you expect so that I know, because otherwise we all just guessing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So throw the expectations out, communicate, and enjoy the ride.
I like that. All right, y'all. Talk to y'all later. What's up, family? Did you enjoy the episode? Well, great. Show some love. Follow us on the Married to Millennials podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on every major platform for podcasts. And if you really want to tap in, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at M2M Podcast. Let's go.